And we are live on Facebook. Hello, friends. It's Friday, and you know what that means? It's time for Margaritas with Margarita Cheng, CFP Pro, where for 15 minutes, you will learn from an industry executive who will help us flex our financial muscles. It's January 14th, 2022, and I'm Hope Katz Gibbs, producer of the show on the Incandescent Radio Network and Incandescent TV. Very proud to be here to introduce you to today's guest, Gregory Ferrer of, I'm going to say this wrong, Baratung Advisors. But take it away, Rita. Correct me where I screwed up there. And we can't wait to hear what you guys have to teach us.
Well, thank you so much for the introduction. And Greg, before we get started, I want to take this moment to give you a social media shout out. Thank you so much and congratulations on FPA presidency, FPA of Pittsburgh.
Thank you so much. It's an honor and a privilege.
Absolutely. So we are here today to learn. First of all, I love the name of your firm, Baratung. Tell us what that means.
Awesome. Well, first off, thank you for having me on here. As we were talking earlier, I've followed you from afar, and you've just been an industry titan, not only for a leader of a female in this industry and breaking so many walls down, but a leader in giving back. So many advisors want to give to their clients, which is great, but you've given back to our profession. So it's a privilege and honor to be here with you. And so our firm, Baratung, is a German word that stands for advice, guidance, and counsel. And so before I started a firm, I wanted a firm to have a meaning, and I wanted it to mean something. I always joke around, no offense, they want to name their children this way, but I always say you name your dog a name you like, you name your children something you want to have a meaning for, right? And so that's kind of how I felt about a firm. I wanted to have a meeting. So we sat down and with consultants and try to figure out like, what is the capture of what we want to do? And we came about 10 words, and advice, guidance, and counsel were three of them. And we wanted three things out of the name. We wanted it to be Googleable, which is a word that I made up. I don't know if it's a true word. We want it to be easy to find. We wanted to have a meeting. And a third thing, when people see it, what does that mean? And it's done all those things. It's easy to find. And people always ask what it means, right? And so we went and looked at a bunch of different languages. They recommended Latin, Greek, and Italian. They said that those are the three. And I started looking around like, oh my gosh, like all these companies are named that. Couldn't find anything. And he looked up German and called me and said, hey, I found the perfect name. It's 3 of the 10, but it's in German. I'm like, oh my gosh, it's going to be this long. You're probably going to sound angry. You're probably going to spit when you say it. And he said Baratung, and I actually pronounce it wrong. So I'm from Pittsburgh, Western PA, and we have an accent here called Yinzer. And I always tell people, I just say it with the Yinzer accent. So I don't pronounce it phonetically the German way, but I pronounce it phonetically the Pittsburgh way.
Well, thank you so much. And you know what? I appreciate that story about names, because Asians, many times babies go without names because relatives are really obsessing about that name. Does that name sound right? Does it look right? Like when you write the character. So thank you so much for sharing.
So how long does it usually take to name a child? They wait long.
Oh my goodness. And they have a party, a naming party. So it could take like weeks, days, months, weeks.
I kind of like that. Might have to adopt our next child. I have to adopt that practice. I like that.
So we met officially with the e-money as panelists for the e-money summit, passion and purpose. And I know that you're really passionate about helping clients find their purpose. We are financial planning evangelists. With that in mind, tell us how you discovered financial planning and what that means to you and your clients.
Well, that's a long journey, so I'll try to get as short as possible. But I will tell you, growing up, I did everything with my father, who was an entrepreneur, had many businesses, and tagged along for everything. And the accountant was his financial planner, and went to school for accounting and realized they weren't financial planners. They were tax and audit and bookkeeping. So along that journey, just started finding out different firms. And everywhere I went, the first firm I started out with was, oh, we do financial planning, and found out we sell life insurance. And then kind of moved on down the road to try to self-discovery. But I think really when I found out what I wanted to do was when clients would come and ask questions, and they wanted to know about investment management, which we did, and I helped them out. But I got excited saying, you know, should you pick a Roth or a traditional? Should you save more money? And that's kind of how I discovered financial planning. In terms of becoming a CFP professional, I used to always say it wasn't worth it. And the only reason why I got it is my one buddy got it, and I didn't want him to have a designation I didn't have. And going through the program, I realized this is exactly what I do with clients, and became one of the biggest CFP advocates. And so if I had to define financial planning for me and how I do it, yes, I follow the 7 steps of a CFP professional. And I believe that is an important part of our industry we need to get everyone on board with. But I think in the most simplistic form, we make it so complicated. It's just a conversation. And it's taking somebody's goals over here and then taking their resources over here and putting the two together. Just like if you were playing sports, you take your God-given talent and you take your hard work, that creates a production, right? And I think that that's really all financial planning is. People know what they want. They want, or you can at least help them discover it, and they just don't know how to put the two together. It's just like when you have a wish or a dream, it becomes a goal when you write it down, right? And it becomes an achievement when you actually put that in place. That's all we're trying to do. Find what a client's goal is, find what their resources are, and it's more than just money, and put them together. And that's why I think financial planning is giving people a path to connect those two.
I love that. Thank you so much. And sometimes I do feel like we make things overly complicated. I mean, we both have CFP marks, and I think that's great. I would never do or say anything to disrespect the profession. But at the end of the day, it's really about conversations, right? So
nobody gets up at night and says, man, I wish I had a financial plan. I wish I had this 100-page document. That's the thing missing in my life, right? No, they just want to know how to get to the, I want to own a lake house. How do I do that? I want to pay for my kids' school. How do I do that, right?
So tell us about the 412 vision.
Yeah, so you know, I've talked about this. So for our firm, Baritone, we have a vision. And by 2030, we want to do what we call own the 412. It's a play on our area code. The Pittsburgh, Western Pennsylvania area is the 412 as an area code. It used to be just one. Now they got 6 or 7 area codes. But really when we break that down, it was 4,000 lives impacted by a financial plan. And we put these in order and we came up with the 412 secondary because we said, what's the most important thing? When you think about 4,000 lives being impacted by a plan, it's a ripple effect. And you've experienced this. We know the number one reason for stress, the number one reason for bankruptcy, the number one reason for divorce, all are money issues. And the other one, number one reason for suicide is money issues. And I've experienced where clients said they were going to commit suicide before they had this financial plan. And when you experience that, and I know you've experienced it so much in your career, of that, oh, we were going to get a divorce. Now that couple that was getting a divorce, they were stressed about money issues. All of a sudden, they live a happier life. And the ripple effect on their children, the ripple effect on the people they work with. When you impact 4,000 lives, and if each person knows 150 to 200 people, wow, that multiplication effect can be important. And then our second part, the one, is $10 million in revenue. And we don't want to be a billion-dollar asset manager. We want to do $10 million in revenue because we believe that revenue comes in many forms. Some people just want to pay for advice. Some people want assets under management. We came up with $10 million to build out a firm that would have a lifestyle for every single person that works at our firm to never be stressed. Obviously, we can't be perfect about that. Life's going to come up. COVID has made a lot of people stressed. But what can we do as good stewards of our resources from our clients and our team members to build out a production area? And the last part is 20 CFP professionals. You know, we're big believers in the CFP has it the best of anyone else out there in terms of designation and what this practice should be, but we want advisors that provide financial planning every single day for their clients. And so we want to have those 20 CFP professionals that are the practitioners that are the face of the clients, but that team to support them, to provide all the resources. Just like we go to a doctor's office, there's a team behind them. Just we go to a lawyer's office, accountant's office, anyone. You go to a pastor's office, there's a team behind them.
Thank you for that. That's incredible. And I really love what you said about 10 million. You know, I'm not that old. And I remember where I would be afraid to talk to the media because the question they would ask me is how much AUM. And I worked at a large firm and we weren't allowed to disclose AUM because it wasn't all our AUM. Now I tell people, listen, I'm going to help you with your story. But if you are not going to quote me because I can't tell you AUM, I'm okay with that. I'm going to help you no matter what. So the point of that is, I do believe there's different business models. And what would you say to naysayers who say people aren't going to pay for advice?
I mean, here's the bottom line. I could just say, but we're bringing in more clients that are paying for advice than we are AUM. I mean, it's that simple. But I think it really comes down to, what does a business exist? A business exists for one reason, in my opinion, to solve problems. The second you don't solve a problem, is the second you don't exist as a business. Well, a lot of people have the problem of asset management, but more people have a problem with advice of answering their questions. So let me give you an example. If I want to buy a lake house, I don't want to know how much I need to invest to get there. I want to know what steps I have to take. Do I save more today? I want that advice. And let's be clear with AUM, just for any of those that are on the call that don't know what that is, that's assets under management. So traditionally in our industry, and there's all different business models. This is the predominant one of the day. If you have money and it's invested with us and we're managing investment, we'll typically charge you a percentage of that. And that's how we get paid. So if you make more money, we make more money, we make less. But what if you don't have enough in terms of money for that 1%, which is a common number, and it goes all around the board, and we charge different clients different fees. Well, let's say it's 1%. What if that's not enough for that professional to meet with you? How do you get their advice? So, and I'll give you a quick example. One of my good friends, a professional, younger, they have a child, and they're asking all these questions. And we were out to have a couple of drinks. He's like, "Greg, problem with your profession, I can't talk to anyone. I need help. I need help building a plan, but nobody will talk to me because his money was tied up in his 401k. And there are some firms out there that, well, you have money in a 401k, can charge you for advice, but most of us don't. And so no advisor wanted to talk to him. He didn't have enough money because he can't make money on it. Came to our firm and was like, "Wait, I can just pay for this advice." And not only were they so excited about it, they referred a bunch of their fellow colleagues over. Here's the one thing to think about. Traditionally in our industry, we're going after people that have larger net worth. Typically, that's the last stage of your life is when you've accumulated wealth because of compounding interest. So we've been focused on people that are already retired to help them retirement planning. And you can have a huge impact. But which one could you have a huger impact on? Somebody that's already created wealth and kind of knows what they're doing, or somebody that their mistakes are going to be multiplied for 20 or 30 years? And I think that the need and desire to pay for planning is stronger with 30, 40, and 50-year-olds than it is with 60, 70, and 80-year-olds. And so I think the one thing is, we think it's one way or the other, pay for assets under management, pay for advice. It's about creating compensation models to get advice to every single person that needs advice.
Absolutely. I always believe everybody deserves the opportunity to experience financial confidence and be financially well. So, Greg, where can our viewers and listeners learn more about you, your team, and your firm?
Thank you so much. The best way to get a hold of me or connect with me is on LinkedIn. I'm pretty active on LinkedIn. So you can go to LinkedIn, type in my name, Greg Furer, F-U-R-E-R, and find me that way. Or you can always go to our website, which is baratungadvisors.com. You can see it behind me. That's B-E-R-A-T-U-N-G. Advisors is A-D-V-I-S-O-R-S.com. Or you can always just type into Google, Baratung Advisors.
Well, thank you so much, Greg. This was awesome. Back to you, Hope.
Thank you both. What fun. I love your vision, Greg. It's very clear and clean and very Pittsburgh. As a Philadelphia girl, I love Pittsburgh. Can't get enough of it. So thank you, Rita. Thank you to our listeners. And every Friday at 5 p.m., we bring another industry expert on, like fabulous Greg. Next week's guest is going to be super interesting as well. Peter Neuwirth is the author of Money Mountaineering. Rita, tell us a little bit about your connection to him.
So Peter is actually a retired actuary. He's actually an actuary. Well, he's retired, but he says he's not a practicing actuary. And he wrote a book called Money Mountaineering, basically what tools we need to help us for our retirement journey when we're in the retirement wilderness. So it's going to be a lot of fun. Of course, I say this about every guest, you definitely don't want to miss it.
Absolutely. Every guest is fun. You're fun. That's what makes it worth it. So Money Mountaineering. I can't wait to meet Peter. He is a character. I've done a bunch of research on him and very excited. And Greg, thank you so much. Best of luck to you with your big
My pleasure.
Plan. And we hope to stay in touch. So thank you, audience. Thank you, Rita. I'm Hope Katz-Gibbs with the Incandescent Radio Network and Incandescent TV. We will see you again soon. Stay well.